Imagine, Amit, that you've got a job that keeps you at your desk for most of the time. It's a pretty sedentary life. And then that's when you're not on the road. So other times you're in airports, you're in hotels, making it pretty hard to keep up a normal rhythm. Your diet isn't great. You're eating lots of snacks during the day and work dinners in the evening. And somewhere along the way, Amit, you picked up a bit of a belly that you just can't get rid of. Despite good intentions, you struggle to maintain a healthy lifestyle. Then one Christmas, your partner gets you a health tracking device. You're skeptical, but you agree to give it a try. The next morning, it gives you a gentle buzz and a reminder to get up and get moving. You're slightly annoyed by this, but what the heck? You go for a brisk walk. And before you know it, counting steps becomes a habit. You've given yourself a goal of 12,000 steps a day, but that's too hard to keep up, so you switch it to a weekly goal of 80,000 steps. You connect with some office colleagues who are also trying to get in shape, so it becomes a bit social, a little bit competitive. One drops out, but you're left with three others, and you feel it if you miss one of your weekly goals, especially when they make theirs. Your activity is up, you start feeling better, more energetic. You're sleeping better too, and you know this because you started to track your sleep. It's not longer sleep, but better sleep, more deep, less shallow, and you don't wake up as many times in the night. But you still can't seem to shake that belly. No matter how much exercise you're getting, it's still there. So you sign up for a calorie counting app. You realize that your diet was all wrong. You're eating the wrong things at the wrong times. So you and your partner get into smoothies, you cut down on snacks. You don't eat less, but you eat higher quality food. And you start carrying around healthy snacks with you and cutting out the sugary drinks. You start drinking more water. And the kilos begin to disappear. Your clothes start to feel loose around your waist. You're feeling better, but it's actually hard to keep track of all these devices and apps. You crave something that's simpler, and someone tells you about a new AI trainer. You cautiously give it a try, even though it takes all kinds of time to set up. You link the trainer to all your apps, the step and calorie counters, your running app, your sleep app, your workout app, your calendar, all of it. You pick a name for your AI trainer, you call it Tony. And Tony tracks everything. It keeps you in check, suggesting diet and exercise, providing health and wellness advice, and encouraging you when you feel down. He can be demanding. And some of the workouts that he gives you are grueling, but he knows your limits because he knows you. And he adapts to make sure that you don't get illusioned or injured. By the summer, Amit, you're feeling great. Your belly's almost gone. Tony, he changes your regimen based on your physical status, your schedule, pictures of yourself that you send to him, the weather, your goals. And he likes to mix things up to keep you motivated. You're not only thinner, you're mentally sharper, less stressed, and surprisingly enjoying a healthier lifestyle. So, Amit, this is, you know, the third episode we have in our three-part series on sports tech. We talked about, you know, tech in professional sports. We talked about esports. And today, we're going to talk about consumer apps and technologies to help you become healthier, fitter, and so on. And some of the tech that I described to you then exists today, and some of it is coming soon. One thing is clear, you know, technology has the potential to help us to become fitter and healthier.
So folks, in case you're still wondering, you're listening to Mike and Amit Talk Tech. And Mike, so we've had these diary systems for age immortal, right? I mean, they've been around forever where you could, you know, note down diligently what you ate, how, you know, how much you walked or how much you ran and those kinds of things. But obviously those things were wildly inaccurate. So clearly, one of the things that these devices seems to have done is bring a lot of correctness or accuracy to our day-to-day activities, thereby allowing us to really analyze what the heck we're doing. So we are no longer under the illusion that we really are eating healthy or I really am walking 10,000 or 12,000 steps, because now I can see that all I'm eating is pizzas and chips or chocolate in my particular case, and I'm walking 2,000 steps, you know, on a good day. So is realization The big impact of this, is it just that this thing now is much more accurate, that it's really capturing what was always happening? Or is there something beyond this? Does it go deeper than that, Mike?
So transparency clearly is a big benefit. So we actually know, we can actually see and measure our calorie intake. We can measure how many steps and the activity. So transparency is important, but I think it goes a lot more than transparency, because you have elements, for example, of gamification. So you makes it more fun. You want to hit that goal. And if you hit that goal, you get some kind of a hit, you know, it's points or it's kind of a bonus. So you have the gamification. You also have this element of community. You can share your activities with others. So you don't feel like you're doing it alone, which also has the benefit of peer pressure. So, you know, if you don't make your goal, then you kind of feel bad about that. So I think there's a lot more than just data showing transparency. It taps into a lot of the kind of the human motivation that we need, typically, not just to start the journey to get healthier, but to stay on that journey when we've lost our mojo and our motivation.
I completely agree with you, Mike, right? I mean, while transparency, accuracy, and a glorified alarm clock is how some people might think about it, right? I do think the benefits, I do think the functionalities of this are actually significantly deeper. On the consumer side, you've already spoken about a few of these things. I personally think gamification is absolutely brilliant, right? I mean, sometimes a little too effective for some of these things. It gets us to do stuff that we otherwise would not. It gets us to be more regular. It pushes us, tapping into some sort of understanding of human nature or some kind of endorphin kick that we get when that app, that silly app, tells us well done or something like that, right? But these folks have tapped into that beautifully. But simultaneously, I think these things are also delivering tremendous value on the other side of the platform, right? They're delivering tremendous value to manufacturers of food, manufacturers of equipment, insurance companies, and the like, right? Isn't that true as well?
Sure. I mean, there's obviously significant concerns there about privacy and so forth, but you could imagine a case, and this is already happening in some parts of the world, where your activity tracking is linked to your health insurance or life insurance. And if you can demonstrate that you're living a healthy lifestyle, then that will be reflected in a pricing of health or life insurance. So absolutely, yeah, it can be linked to other benefits that you would see.
No, and I know for a bit, I think Discovery Insurance in South Africa is one that's actively doing that. I know there are several in the United States that do that. I mean, a lot of these insurance companies, for example, today when you sign up, they will give you a quote-unquote free Apple Watch. I mean, I say quote-unquote because obviously what they're promising is that you give them all the data that comes out of it, and they're actually using that to do individual-level pricing. I mean, if you really think about the insurance business is about managing risk. You know, and the way they typically do that, or they used to do that, is, you know, they have these massive tables that say, hey, if you're a male of certain ethnicity between the ages of 25 and 39 who does not smoke and lives in this particular localities, your risk profile is something or the other, which is a pretty rough way to do risk estimations, right? But today they know if, for example, you go skydiving and I sit on the couch and eat tons of potato chips or something like that, and they can actually start pricing us differently based off of that. But not just insurance companies. I mean, very famously, we have the case of Nike Plus, who put chips in their shoes. It started off as exactly like you said, as creating a sense of community amongst Nike owners and getting people to work out more. But the data that they eventually figured out they were getting from these millions of shoes with chips in them was absolutely invaluable. I mean, even a company like Nike, which is pretty knowledgeable about its customers, right? I mean, this is a company that has been, you know, doing high-level marketing for decades. You know, it actually figured out that, you know, 2/3 of its shoes were never, ever run in, like not even 100 meters to catch a bus, right? And that's when they figured out that the real competition wasn't Adidas or New Balance. The real competition was Zara and H&M. Nike was actually a fashion brand, right?
And the irony of that is that these very expensive running shoes that have the chips in them were not designed for walking. In fact, they were being used for something that they were suboptimal for. If you're designing a walking shoe, that's going to be very different than a running shoe. So these very expensive shoes are being used for a purpose which they were not designed for and not optimized for. And I think you have other examples of tech. You know, you have smart insulin pens at the moment that are connected that can check your blood sugar and titrate the exact amount of insulin that the patient will need. So it's not just about transparency giving data. You can actually use the technology to adjust the amount, in this case, of medicine that you get, or adjust the amount of steps that it will recommend, or exercise, or types of exercise. And the example that I used to tee off the episode, and this doesn't really exist yet, but you could imagine very shortly in the future, these kind of agents that could know you very well and adjust your kind of health regimens, whether it's exercise or diet, for you. And, you know, maximize the benefits that you can get. So I think the future is going to get even more interesting and bright, or scary, depending on how you look at it.
No, I absolutely agree with you. I agree that, you know, what you said doesn't really exist yet, but I think we are really close. Similar to your insulin example, I believe there are also asthma inhalers that are now connected digitally, and they can, you know, exactly like you said, they can automatically either adjust the doses, or they can send a distress signal if something is going really wrong, you know, all these kinds of things. But Mike, that brings us to the big elephant in the room, right? There's something you touched upon already, is this, where is the balance? Where exactly does this stop? You know, I mean, if you ask manufacturers, if you ask the, you know, the tech bros or the geeks, they're going to say, you know, unlimited amount of technology is good for us. It's only going to continue delivering value to everyone. Is going to democratize stuff that only the quote-unquote rich could afford. I mean, if you are a billionaire, you could always afford a personal trainer, personal cook, you know, somebody who'll do all these things for you, but not if you are an average schmo. And today, the power of this is anybody who can afford it. Admittedly, these things are not super cheap, but anybody who can afford a couple of $100 watch or a device essentially has the same functionality as having your own private nutritionist or your own private gym trainer or something like that. But where does this stop, right? Where exactly is the balance, right? Knowing how much I walk versus knowing my insulin levels versus knowing how I spend time at home with my family. At what point does this go from useful to creepy?
Yeah, so that I think that's, you know, if you look at the downsides of these technology, you could question the accuracy of a lot of these technology. You know, how accurate are they? Are they really? Maybe you can get over reliant on them. Maybe the cost could be too high for some people. Maybe the science is questionable behind some of them. But I think most people would point to the lack of privacy and the invasion of privacy. I mean, you know, I'm wearing an Apple Watch right now. You know, this is a new Apple Watch. I have an old one, and the old one I wear when I'm sleeping. So I'm wearing an Apple Watch pretty much the whole day. So that's keeping track of all my data, which means Apple is keeping track of all my data. And I guess the question is benefit to cost calculation. Do I get enough benefit from having, you know, this tracking technology versus the cost that I give up, which is basically a lot of privacy? And I guess that's individual to everyone. I mean, for me, it's a cost I'm willing to pay, but I can understand completely how some people would be very worried and concerned about this.
No, understandably so, right? And a lot of these things, obviously, we've covered aspects of this in our previous episodes as well. A lot of these things differ by generation. They differ by geography, by society. Some societies are just more willing to share more data than others. But I think, without a question, you know, this is something that both customers as well as organizations need to keep a closer eye on going forward, right? We are moving invariably toward a world in which more and more of our individual level data is going to get captured. I don't think anyone will disagree with that. The question is, where is the line? Who decides where is the line? And how is that line actually enforced? Now, these are the things that we really, really need to pay attention for and be cognizant of. But other than that, I personally, you know, going back to the anecdote with which you actually started this particular episode, I'm with you, right? I mean, the potential benefits for this, especially in a planet that is continually getting older, right, across the board, we will have less and less people, actual physical people, caring eventually for more and more older us. And the sooner we get quality technologies like this up to speed to at least take care of the low-hanging fruit. And then what we can do is whatever manpower we do have at our disposal, we can obviously, you know, reposition them or retarget them towards the harder problems. I think that's going to benefit society as a whole.
Yeah, I think this is one of those technologies where the benefits outweigh the costs. And by the way, you don't have to track, right? It's totally up to you, right? It's voluntary. You can wear one of these devices, or if you want to track, or you can turn it off if you want to still wear a device and see the time. And there is significant research which is suggesting that there are well-being, health, and physical benefits. So there's a study in the Frontiers of Public Health for 2023. There are two separate papers in Nature, the journal Nature from 2022 to 2023. And, you know, they do call for more research, both of them, but their conclusions are clear that apps and trackers can effectively, in most people, promote, you know, increase physical activity and increase wellness. You know, so it's scientifically valid and reliable data that suggests that, yeah, there really is a benefit to these things. Of course, you don't have to use them, but if you choose to use them, and when you add that with the gamification benefits and this kind of the social benefits, I think this is a good example of where technology is a net positive.
Indeed. Absolutely agree with you, Mike, and another really, really fascinating discussion on a wonderful topic. So folks, that was another episode of Mike and Amit Talk Tech. If you would like more information about the show or about us, please do visit imd.org. Thank you for listening.